So for 3 years now, Americans have become very used to hearing doom and gloom about the economy.
We are in the most serious financial crisis in generations.
The health of the broader economy is at risk.
So-called too big to fail.
The housing market has all but collapsed.
The oil shocks of the 70s, the debt crisis of the 80s, the Asian financial crisis of the 90s, they pale by comparison.
So maybe it's true. Maybe our economy has gone over a cliff, injured mortally, damaged beyond repair. But maybe, just maybe, we can rebuild it.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. Better, stronger, faster.
Maybe a lot more than $6 million there, but Better, Stronger, Faster is the title of Dan Gross's new book because he thinks we can implant the equivalent of bionic parts into our economy and turn it back into a superpower. Dan Gross joins us now. He's the economics editor at Yahoo Finance. Thanks for coming in, Dan.
It's great to be in the studio with you.
So before we let you come out of the closet as a secret optimist, let's kind of establish your Debbie Downer bona fides here. You were one of the first to actually report that the country was in a recession. You did that in January of 2008. You are perfectly willing to believe that the U.S. would languish in slow growth for a long period of time. Is this all accurate?
And I grew up in Michigan in the 70s and 80s.
If that
doesn't make you a pessimist, I don't know what will.
Okay, so what changed your mind?
Well, part of it was the sort of sheer volume of negativity. It was 2009. Everybody, left, right, centrist, historians, futurists, were all convinced not only that we had taken a big fall, but we had somehow lost the tools, the capabilities, and the will to grow. And before I got into journalism, I studied history, and to me this looked a lot like 1933. People were saying the exact same things. And I think when you look back through American history, we've been in these positions before. There's always this undercurrent of pessimism surrounding our trademark optimism. And we did not lose the tools to grow. And I think when you look over the past few years, first with a rapid policy response, but really the private sector getting back on its feet, restructuring, finding new markets, growing profits, the markets rebounding, we didn't lose the capacity to grow. We just suffered the type of fall that we had not collectively taken in 80 years, and very few people had any experience managing or living through this. So I think that explains a lot of the pessimism.
And in your book, you make some pretty clear parallels, convincing parallels with the 1930s, not just in terms of economics and finance, but also in terms of the political situation as well. But just because it's happened before doesn't mean we're going to bounce back.
Right. As they say in the investment world, past performance is no guarantee of future performance. But I would say, forget about the distance past. Just look at the last few years. There is this narrative, and I've been writing about it and covering about it, that our housing is a mess, finance is a mess, politics is a mess. I call it, the Acela corridor is the corridor of doom or misery.
Right?
Nothing is functional.
Right.
Our incomes continue to decline. We have high unemployment, all those issues. But if you get out of this corridor and you get out into the world a little more and you get out into some parts of the U.S., where unemployment is 3% and 4% instead of 8% or 9%, and you talk to companies whose businesses have grown in some cases exponentially in the past few years, you realize that we still have what it takes to grow and engage. And in particular, there's this sense that we're growing slowly, the rest of the world is growing rapidly. That makes us feel smaller. American companies, American institutions are in fact very good about engaging the world. Our exports, higher than they've ever been. They've risen about 30% in the last 2 years. People are coming from all over the world to consume what we make. They're coming here, record number of people attending university for higher education, record number of tourists coming here. We lead the world in foreign direct investment. In other words, foreign companies are buying factories. They are building new factories. People are buying buildings. If we were a nation in decline, the rest of the world would be a lot less interested in us than it is showing.
And one of the things that has happened recently with so many people obsessively watching the economic numbers, obviously people watching for that unemployment report, but another thing people watch is the stock market as it fluctuates day after day after day. Many people see it as an economic indicator, but you say that between 1929 and 1954, the stock market didn't actually reflect growth in the economy. Why is that?
Well, because we had a massive bubble. In other words, stocks, the Dow Jones didn't regain its 1929 peak until 1954. So that's a 25-year period where, forget about inflation, stocks did nothing. And you would say, if that's the barometer of the nation's economy, that's a terrible 25 years. Well, in those 25 years, we rebuilt ourselves. We led the world to victory in World War II. We developed television, nuclear power, built a middle-class society. I think a similar thing is going to happen. You know, you look at the NASDAQ. It peaked in 1999. We had that crazy tech bubble. It's far below where it was. But are we really saying that technology and technology companies haven't done anything in the last 13 years? So I think it's going to be the case with housing, for example. Housing prices may never reach their 2005 peak for another 15 or 20 years. But that doesn't mean in the meantime, the economy is not going to be much bigger and continue to develop.
All right. We're talking to Dan Gross about his new book, Better, Stronger, Faster. Dan, I wonder if you would read from one of your early chapters on page 16 for us. Okay.
Looking at their models in 2007, forecasters told us housing prices couldn't fall, the economy wouldn't lapse into recession, and all those subprime borrowers were good credit risks. The fraternity of Sears, who in March 2009 saw the stock market rising back to 12,000 within 2 years, was about as small as the exclusive club that saw it plummeting from 14,700 to 6,600 in the space of 6 months. The fellows who spend their days trying to figure out the direction of the economy always seem to be the last to know about a turn.
All right. Experts never know. They're the last to know. Why?
That's a very good question. I mean, there's this entire forecasting industry and people who sit around all day and try to say, what is GDP growth going to be like, you know, in the next quarter? And they always get it wrong, especially at points of inflection. You know, forecasting is very hard. People's models don't tend to account for disruptions and discontinuities. They figure, all right, the last few quarters were like this, so the next, you know, we'll just sort of draw a line. And what we had in 2008 was really the mother of all modern discontinuities. I mean, our entire financial system essentially went bankrupt, and so did the world's. And so we had this contraction that nobody projected.
Or projecting a recovery either. Daniel Gross, the new book's called Better, Stronger, Faster. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Better, faster, stronger.